ho! Welcome one and all to Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week, my friends, we're talking about software, security, and your next IoT design. My guest is John Siriani from Webroot. John joins Fish Fry to help us tackle the beast called software security in IoT. Whether it's a connected teddy bear or an industrial robot, we all need a little security now and again, don't we? Check it out. Hi, John. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, John, let's talk a little bit about security. So with the influx of recent data breaches, cybersecurity is becoming a top priority for a lot of organizations. Tell us about the current threat landscape and why the amount of breaches seems to be growing.
Well, there's certainly two questions there, Amelia. The evidence of the growth is certainly all around us. And firms like Webroot, as we collectively bring together intelligence on cyber threats, we have some impressive numbers. And so from a tracking standpoint, if you were to take a look at the trend, it's been exponential over the last few years. Way back in the safe days of IoT, maybe 2005, there were only about 1 million malware variants in a given year. In this last year, there was well over 16,000 malware variants per hour, or somewhere over 100 million malware variants every year. And so it has been explosive, and it's affecting all parts of the connected infrastructure, from end devices in IT corporate infrastructures to, as we've seen in the press, connected vehicles, telemetry systems, power plants, and smart grids.
Okay, let's talk about industrial IoT, where it's absolutely vital to protect system infrastructure. So, keeping this in mind, what are some of the particular challenges for OEMs and system designers for the industrial IoT space?
Yeah, great question. The movement of devices from machine-to-machine communications, where you had individual devices talking over a very well-defined and controlled protocol or confined network to each other. As the world has moved to an IoT business model, we now have individual devices connected directly to the internet with addressable IP addresses. We have devices within large infrastructures that are connected through partners and supply chains and other providers from the operational environments on the shop floor or out into the oil and gas fields, back through a number of suppliers and providers to machine systems developers themselves. And so the communications is not a one-to-one communications anymore. And that opens up the opportunity for malware, viruses, botnet, and criminal activity, espionage, or even individual actors within an organization, once in the connected infrastructure, to move around within the connected infrastructure in a much greater way than they were before. And so as we see the traditional IT environments converging with the operational technology environments, what many are calling IT-OT convergence, it becomes easier to move data around between devices, training partners, various parts of the operation. But there also then exists the opportunity to exploit that communication and also the devices that are under control.
All right, so let's talk about Webroot in particular. So for my audience who may not know, what do you guys do?
So Webroot is known as one of the innovators in the next generation endpoint and enterprise protection business. We provide endpoint protection for PCs, cell phones, tablets, consumer devices. So when you walk into a Best Buy, for instance, you'll see Webroot software on the shelf. Our innovation that helped kind of change the market back in 2009 was to bring that form of antivirus, malware, and anti-phishing protection into the cloud and make it real-time and make it collective. So what we do is that our cloud intelligence is watching the internet, IP addresses, all URL web pages, and files on devices, and classifying all of the internet threats in real time so that systems that are executing files have the ability to essentially watch how those files are behaving and how those files are associating with bad actors at known IP addresses and URLs. So we provide IP reputation and URL reputation for the purposes of protecting end devices.
Okay, so I saw that Webroot recently released an IoT security toolkit, which leverages collective threat intelligence and machine learning. So tell my audience more about that.
Sure. Let's separate how we make the sausage from why the sausage really tastes good. So we make threat intelligence. And what is threat intelligence? It is the intelligence that provides the knowledge of which actors on the internet or in things are good or bad. And we do all of that heavy lifting in the cloud, which sets us apart from other technologies that attempt the same thing. Because we have this collective threat intelligence and we can deliver it quickly to devices, we are able to now take that technology into the non-traditional devices. And so traditionally, security was deployed with heavy scripts and signatures and heavy technology on PCs, and that slowed down PCs and endpoints. With our cloud technology, we can bring threat intelligence directly down into the next generation security appliances. And we've been doing this now pretty routinely for about 4 years into gateways and next generation firewalls and UTMs. And so the companies that manufacture security appliances have been leveraging this cloud-based collective threat intelligence. And now with our IoT toolkit, we are making available to manufacturers of industrial critical infrastructure devices the ability to access that threat intelligence in the cloud in real time. So in real time to determine the IP addresses, the URLs that are known bad at that time, and then also to deal with the files which have unknown reputations in real time at the device level.
All right, John, let's break out a crystal ball and look towards the future. As we approach 2016, where do you see cybersecurity heading?
Very good question. I do not have a crystal ball, but I have worked with quite a few research firms as we were pulling together our strategy. And as we talk to industrial device manufacturers worldwide, the trend that we've seen over the last few years is going to continue. Device manufacturers are going to bring to market gateway devices that allow their endpoints, their machine systems, to provide more value to their customers. And so as we see the growth in IoT gateways from manufacturers over the next few years, and those gateways becoming more advanced, edge streaming analytics and storage, we're seeing markets converge. We're seeing the server market and the edge market and the gateway market kind of come together into some very powerful devices very far out on the edge. What we expect is that the cyber criminals, those launching state-sponsored activity, will naturally go to where the compute power is. And so we do believe that cybersecurity prevention that we've been providing at the network infrastructure level will need to roll down further and further to the end devices. And so I'd like to say that cybersecurity will go away, but the unfortunate thing is due to the number of people involved in making money from exploit kits and rooting kits and as such, unfortunately, it's not going to go away. So hopefully we can work with systems designers and autonomous device creators and provide the right level of security that's required to keep those systems safe.
All right, John, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're a sailor. Do you have any interesting sailing adventures to share?
Fortunately, I have no interesting adventures. I would make a recommendation to listeners that they always keep their cell phone under control when on a sailboat because they are not waterproof.
That is a good tidbit of advice. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, John.
Amelia, thanks so much, and I really appreciate it and very much enjoy your show. Keep up the good
work. Thank you so much.
And folks, it's time once again for a little news you may have missed. MIT edition. Here on Fish Fry, we're quite fond of reporting about the energetic engineering activities over at MIT. And normally, we report on the latest and greatest projects that hope to solve the world's toughest technological problems. From their efforts to harness the unique reflective power found in the blue stripes of the blue-rayed limpet to create a whole new realm of touchscreens, to a project aimed at stemming the tide of malaria with a new prototype device that can recognize the electrical properties of infected cells. And this week is no different. My friends, The folks at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab are looking to solve one of the biggest ailments plaguing the world today. Boring selfies. That's right, we all have one of those friends, right? Or maybe we have a couple. Really? Do we need to see yet another selfie from your car? Well, MIT is here to help us not take yet another forgettable selfie ever again. How? With LaMem, or Large Scale Image Memorability Algorithm. According to MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Lab, LaMem is the largest annotated image memorability dataset to date. And it can, through the use of convolutional neural networks, predict how memorable, or forgettable for that matter, an image is, almost as accurately as a human, within a couple percentage points. So in other words, their API can predict how likely it is that people will remember or forget a specific image. This team at CSAIL also recently developed an algorithm that measures how memorable your face is and how to make minor adjustments to make it more memorable without surgery and stuff. So maybe you're not a daily selfier from your car again, really. But with a little help from MIT, your friends and random people from high school will never be able to forget your face ever again. So, if you're like me, you'll totally want to check out this API for yourself. I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, which includes a direct link to the LaMem demo page, where you can upload your very own image, selfie or the like, and see exactly how memorable or forgettable it is. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can also monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com. Or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 18th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.